I'm glad to have a chance to be here with you tonight and share with any of you who may have the problem of not being filled with joy continually. I understand that there are still a few people around the country who are not able to get up and be thankful that it's time to get up. And is there anybody here that still isn't thankful that it's time to get up? Anybody? Okay, well, I wanted to find out if there was any use of my coming here. But I want to share with you some of the glorious, joyful, happy things that I've learned about praising God and being thankful. And in order to understand praising God, you just about have to start at the beginning first. And the beginning is where? Trusting Jesus as our Savior. Everyone wants to know for sure that they're going to heaven, right? Doesn't everybody want to know that? Everybody wants to believe that they are, but I'm finding so many people who are saying, I'm trying to believe that I'm going to go to heaven, but I have a doubt in my heart. And sometimes I'm not sure. And I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments about the wonderful thing that I've discovered that we can all be absolutely sure that we're going to heaven. We don't have to have these doubts down in our hearts. And the tragedy is that those who have the doubts in their hearts don't ever want to tell anybody. They keep it hidden. They don't come and say, listen, I got a doubt down in here because it sounds like a nasty word or a dirty thing. And they don't want to confess it and admit that there's something down inside that makes them wonder, am I really going to go to heaven or not? And one of the devil's great joys is to get people going around doubting in their heart as to whether they really are a Christian or not. Because the devil knows that one of the most powerful things that a person has is what he thinks in his heart, what he feels in his heart. You remember Jesus said, if you think something evil in your heart, you've already done it. And so if the devil can go around projecting into your mind and into your thoughts, I wonder if really I'm saved, then he's got a powerful hold in your life. Now, what he usually does, he whispers in your ear, and he says, really, you're not good enough to go to heaven, are you? And you say, what's that? What'd you say? He said, now, really, you don't try and tell me that you're good enough to go to heaven. And if you listen to that after a while, you begin to think, well, surely I'm not good enough, and maybe I'm not going to go to heaven. And that is a tragic thing to be in the heart. It creates fear and anxiety and frustration. Let me tell you what the good news of the gospel is, according to Paul. The good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven. Did you ever know that? What the good news was? That God makes us ready for heaven. Aren't you glad that God didn't provide a way of salvation whereby you had to do it, whereby He was going to do it? Did the devil ever whisper in your ear and say, God can't do it? Probably not, has he? What does he say rather than saying, God can't do it? Does he say, you can't do it? Sure, that's what he usually does. But now listen, here's what I'd like to get you to do. When the devil tells you that you're not good enough to make it to heaven, I want you to agree with him. Say, that's right. I know because the Bible already tells me that, and I believe the Bible. And since the Bible says that in me dwelleth no good thing, I'm going to accept the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to go to heaven because God makes me ready for heaven. God gives it to me. And so Paul says, the good news tells us that God makes us ready for heaven, good in His eyes. When we, and that's where people say, oh, I knew you were going to talk about what I had to do. And that's exactly where I have my problem. I can't do it. Well, what is it that Paul says we have to do? He says, when we put our faith and trust in Christ to save us. God does the making of us, does the work of making us ready for heaven, and He does it through our faith that Christ is able to take us to heaven. Now, is Jesus able to supply everything you need to take you to heaven? Is He? If you believe that, raise your hand. Look at that. Devil, look at that. God is able, through Jesus Christ, to take you to heaven. And if you believe that Jesus is going to supply everything you need, and God makes you ready for heaven, then you don't have to listen to the devil anymore. But remember one thing the Bible teaches, and that is that we sometimes need, not sometimes, all the time, need to confess our sin. And God's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the other great, good, glorious things about this good news is that God does some beautiful things for us. And one of the beautiful things is that God says He wants to make us, let's see, what does Paul say? He decided then to make us holy. Say now, have you ever known anybody that God made holy? Look around you tonight. You see anybody? You feel God's made them holy? How about that person sitting on your seat? Has God made them holy yet? Well, now, God said He was going to do it. Has He done it yet? Or is He behind schedule? Well, Paul didn't let up. He said not only that, God decided to make us holy and without a single fault. How about those Christians that you know are holy and faultless? Isn't it glorious to live around them? Never making a mistake, always doing the right thing. I better read on this verse to see what else it says. God decided to make us holy and faultless in His eyes. Here's the miracle. God says, I can't change human beings like I'd like to and still give them free will. But He said, I can do what I want to do. So God says, I am going to provide a way that I can take people and make them holy and faultless in My eyes. Now, in whose eyes do you want to be holy in? God's eyes, other people's eyes, or in your own eyes? Whose eyes? You want to be holy in God's eyes? That's what I decided. I said, God, I'd just as soon be holy in Your eyes. God said, all right, if that's the eyes you want to be holy in, I'll do it. And I had tried to be holy in other people's eyes, and it was an awfully hard job. And then for a while I tried to be holy in my own eyes, and that was even worse. And so when I discovered God could make me holy in His eyes, I wanted to know how. And Paul explained it. He said God would put a blanket of His love down over top of us. And when God looks at us, what does He see? He sees a blanket of His love. And there we are down underneath there, and God looks at us and He says, see what I've done? I have made a human being, covered them up with My love. And when I began to realize that, I began to see I could stand up tall and I could look at God, and I came to understand what Paul meant down here in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Now we can come fearlessly right into God's presence, assured of His glad welcome. Why? Because no matter what the devil says to us, we know that God has covered us up with a blanket of His love. And an extremely important thing happens underneath that blanket of love. To see God, you have to look through it. And when you look up at God, you start to love Him. And the more you look through that blanket of love, the more you love God. Now, I don't know about you all, but most of my church life, I kept hearing people telling me what I should do. Now listen, you ought to do this, and you ought to do that, and you ought to do something else. In fact, I came to discover about 99% of all that was being drilled into me was what I should do. And then I came and looked at the good news, and it says the good news is what God does. And I wondered why in the world 1% of the emphasis was on what God does and 99% upon what I should do. And I thought, well now, something's wrong somewhere. Now, I know there needs to be a strong emphasis on what people should do. I know that a lot. But I also know that about 99% ought to be on what God does for me. Through Jesus Christ, God says, I'll put a blanket of My love over top of you. I'll wash you in the blood of Christ. I'll give you a garment spotless and clean. And then I'll let you have the free gift of eternal life. And when I began to realize that, the song of joy began radiating inside of me, and the devil would slip up to me and say, you're not ready for heaven. I'd say, devil, you can't see what God's done. Because I'm not anything in your eyes. In your eyes, I'm just a wicked old sinner. But in God's eyes, He, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has made me clean. He's made me holy in His eyes. And now I can come boldly right into His presence and say, God, I'm tired of being sad half the time. I'm tired of waking up in the morning and wishing I didn't have to get up. I'm tired of wishing I didn't have to go to work. God, I'd like You to fill me with joy. And God says, well, all right. I'll do that for you. How many of you are unhappy when you have to think of going back to school tomorrow? All right. Now, I'll tell you what I'd like to do this evening. I would like to tell you that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can fill your heart with such praise that you never need to be unhappy about anything. And here's the way you do it. You begin to say, thank God for everything. No matter what it is, thank You, Lord, for it. And if you'll begin right here tonight, that's where you begin, right now. Thank You, God, for everything. God begins to flow in your heart in a new and a blessed way because God is looking for people who don't grumble. Especially young people can just latch on to this. And you can say, okay, God, I'll never grumble again if You'll help me to do it. And I believe that through Christ I can do it. And as I began to learn, instead of grumbling, when I woke up in the morning, I started to say, thank You, Lord, for a new day. Thank You that You kept the world going around. Thank You that I have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Well, now, before I had grumbled, and the Lord said, well, now, didn't I give You the job You had? If I didn't, you better get out of it. But, Lord, it's this commanding officer. He's the one who makes... No, it's not your commanding officer. I'm the one that's running your life. Do you believe God's running your life? If He's not, would you like to give Him your life tonight? Just say, God, take my life and run it. You know how many hairs are in my head, doesn't He? You know everything about me. So, God, I'd like to give You my job. I'd like to give You my school, my husband, my wife, my parents, my children. Give You everything about me. And now You just take care of them and work them out and just cause everything in my life to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. Well, as I began to praise God for everything, He started off with this getting up in the morning, and He said, well, all right, now I'll teach you a lot of things about praise. He said, now, when you come up to that red light, what are you going to do? Well, I decided I'd always had grumbled at red lights. The Lord said, just praise Me and thank Me for the red lights. And as I praised Him, something started happening down inside here. I had always grumbled about those red lights, and now I start saying, thank You, Lord, for that red light. And joy just start bubbling up down inside of me. I got so I looked forward to those red lights every time. Every time I'd come to one, something powerful would happen. Why? Because I had learned one of the most glorious principles that I have ever discovered, and that is if we praise God in everything, He takes it and He uses it not only to bless us, but to bless someone else. And so I got pretty good at praising God in red lights. But then one day, I came up behind a woman driver. And I was thinking, now, Lord, You just get her out of the way. You know, I'm in a hurry. I've got something important that I need to get to. Lord, just get her attention off that woman she's talking to. But the Lord said, Merlin, are you thankful that she's right where she's at? No, Lord. Well, He said, I want you to. Well, I said, all right, Lord, I don't know how to do it, but I'll do the best I can. And so I started to say, thank You, Lord, for that woman right where she's at. And as I did that, do you know what happened? All that tension and anxiety just melted off. And joy started just flowing down inside of me. And it wasn't just but a few minutes. I couldn't even remember where it was I was supposed to go. And the Lord said to me, all right now, since you listen to me, you will never again be irritated by the driver of another vehicle. I said, now, I know I misunderstood that. He said, no. He said, that's what I told you. And the Lord began a work in my heart, or continued a work that was beyond all that I ever expected to ever receive in this life. It was only the next day that I went down and bought a new Chevrolet. I drove out of that garage, proud of that nice new Chevrolet, went down the street about a block and a half and had to go into a store to buy something. And when I when I was leaving the car, I sort of backed up and looked at that shiny car and went in the store and watched that car as long as I could. And then when I finished my business, I came running out to get in my new car. Looked, the car was gone. The devil says, all right, now you're going to praise the Lord. I said, well, I'll do my best. And I said, okay, Lord, thank you. I looked around and couldn't see the car anywhere, but over there in the general vicinity, I saw an old wreck. But as I looked at that old wreck, it became familiar. And I walked over to it, and I realized that the old wreck was my brand new car. Some truck had come along and scraped it from front to rear, took every bit of paint off of it, every bit of chrome, the hubcaps, just peeled it off and put two great gashes right down the side. Well, I put my hand on that car, and I said, Lord, now you're going to have to do something. And do you know what? He did it. He did it. A great peace just flowed into my heart. And from that moment to this, and I've driven in all the major cities of the United States, from that moment to this, I have never been irritated by the driver of another vehicle. Think of how many times people have irritated you with their honking. And they're getting in your way. And they're crazy maneuvers. And you maybe have thought you had to put up with that. But you don't. Why? Because all you have to do is to believe that God is involved in every tiny detail of your life and give your life over to Him. And God begins to pour exactly what Jesus promised. What did He say? He said He came to give us peace. He came to give us joy. The Bible says that we are to become a peculiar people. Now, isn't that a good kind of peculiarity to have? Whereby no matter what happens to you, you just say, praise the Lord. Not only say it, but mean it. And as I began to receive this peace flowing into my heart, I could be sitting beside a woman who had invited me to her home, beautiful tablecloth, nice white linen, and the hostess beside me with a beautiful white gown on. And I had a glass of bright red tomato juice. And because of my awkwardness, I thought, I upset that tomato juice all over her. And when it hit her, I said, praise the Lord. Now she looked at me, a little bit astonished. And she said, why did you say that? I said, well, the Lord had just taught me to be glad for everything. And I'm just praising Him that I was born so clumsy to do a thing like that. And you know what her response was? She said, well, I've been sitting here. I wish that you would tell me and talk to me a little bit about what makes you so joyful as you always are. And, you know, that just opened the door. What? I said, why, it's Jesus. He did it for me. He did it through His Holy Spirit, and He took away my grumbling and my complaining and my fault-finding, and now no matter what happens, all I do is just say, praise the Lord. And right there ministering to her, she let the Lord Jesus come into her heart. Now, what if I had just let my face turn red and hunched my shoulders and said, oh, God, I wish I hadn't come to this place tonight. But as I responded in joy and praise and thanksgiving, God took it and He used it exactly as His Word promises. And this is the exciting thing to me, that God has had that in His Word for hundreds of years. And people have been discovering it again and again and again throughout the centuries. And now, in 1972, people are just beginning to do it. And as they praise God, just amazing things happen. Now, I'm not particularly interested that every person here just be joyful, because that's not all that important. But what I am earnestly concerned about is that if God's people give up their grumbling, God takes it to win people to Christ. Because God inhabits the praise of His people, and as it flows out of our hearts and out of our mouth, God takes it and He uses it. You can walk up to a person and buttonhole them and say, you're a sinner, you need to accept Christ, you're going to go to hell. They can turn and laugh at you and say, well, I knew that all the time. What else new do you got? But if you walk down the street filled with joy and happiness and they look at you and they wonder, what in the world's wrong with that person? And you have a chance to say, why, it's Jesus. He's the one who fills my heart with joy. Now listen, I'm not talking just to the people who may get a splinter in their finger. I'm talking the most hard, cold facts of life. I had to stand at the bedside of men with both legs blown off in Vietnam and eyes burnt out, and I had to hold them and I had to say, son, what God told me to tell you was to thank Him that you're exactly like you are. And usually I was received with cold hatred. But I kept telling them. And as I shared with them what Jesus had done in my own life, I saw a change beginning to come about in their life where they were filled with fear and hatred and anger about the world and toward God and toward their country. They began to be filled with peace. And they began to respond. They'd say, Chaplain Carruthers, I thank you for having shared that with me. Because now I know that God let me come right here so that you could come and tell me about Jesus Christ. And one after another, I saw them come to know Christ as their personal Savior. And so I'm convinced. So don't come up to me with a splinter in your finger and say, you mean you want me to thank God for that splinter? It hurts. Because the only thing I'll respond with is, yes, I do. Because the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God. Now, like Paul says, God did it because He wanted to. And if that's what He wanted to do, we might as well just go right along with it because it's the only thing really that's going to work. And it releases glorious power in our lives and in the lives of other people. I had spoken one night for about 2 hours. I guess I won't get 2 hours tonight. But about 2 hours, and I was just exhausted. And I went into the restaurant, and I said to the young lady, Miss, could you get me a glass of milk? And she trotted off, said, oh, sure, I'll be glad to get you a glass of milk. And when she came back in a few seconds, she said, sir, she said, I must apologize. Somebody has locked up the refrigerator, and I can't find the key, and I can't get your milk. I said, praise the Lord. She said, why did you say that? I said, well, I just learned to praise the Lord for everything. No matter what happens, I just thank Him. She said, what kind of religion are you? I said, well, I'm just a Methodist. She said, well, I'm a Baptist. But I don't believe I ever heard anybody talking about praising God for things like that. I said, well, Jesus has just taught me to always be filled with joy every moment of every day about everything and in every circumstance. I said, by the way, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? She says, yeah, I think so. I said, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I said, well, you can know you are. And I reached out my hand, touched her on the shoulder and said, would you like me to pray and invite Jesus to come into your life? And so I prayed, and together we asked God to forgive her of her sin. And I lifted my eyes, tears were running down her face, and the joy was in her face. She says, I really know it now. I know I'm going to heaven. Why didn't I ever hear this before? Think of the many times you may have passed up an opportunity to win somebody to Christ simply because you were so engrossed in yourself, worrying about yourself, upset about yourself, and it shuts off the power of God. And God wants to fill you with His joy and with His peace, not just here on Sunday night, but tomorrow morning. You know, I get a chance to see the insides of many homes as I travel around the country. And sometimes as I'm sitting at the dinner table, everybody just saying praise the Lord. Oh, we're so glad for your book. We're just so glad to learn to praise the Lord. But then when I get stuck off in a bedroom, I hear some sort of angry notes coming up from one another. Why didn't you do this? Do you mean you forgot that again? Now, how am I supposed to take care of this if you forget? You know, those little cutting remarks. And I think, oh, God, they haven't learned yet. Do you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to believe that all things work together for good for those who love Him. And if you haven't learned to love God, tonight's a good opportunity to begin. Why should we love Him? Because of what He's done for us. That's why I started with the good news of the gospel. God's forgiven me of all my sins. And when I stand before Him, He'll look at me and He may say to a great gathered congregation, "Does anyone here know any reason why Merlin Carruthers ought not to go to heaven?" And there'll probably be a brief, embarrassed silence. Finally, one brother, I'm sure, will gain the courage to stand up. And he'll say, "Well, I didn't want to be the first one, but I do happen to know this, and I think you ought to know this." Well, when he's through, another brother says, "Well, you know, I didn't intend to say anything, but I feel I got to say this." By the time these two brothers are through, another sister says, "Oh, listen, you haven't said anything yet." Well, by that time, I'm clear down hiding underneath the seat. And when they're all through, God looks at all the gathering and He says, "Now, if I should let this brother into heaven, would all of you admit that it's because of my kindness?" Listen to what Paul says. "Now God can always point to us as examples of how very rich His kindness is." And so the entire congregation says, "God, if you let that fall into heaven, it's going to be because of your kindness." So God turns to the recording angel and He says, "I want to know one thing. What did He do with my son?" And the angel opens the book and he says, "Well, it says right here that he believed that Jesus, your son, forgave him of all of his sins. And that because of your son, you gave him the free gift of eternal life." And God says, "That's exactly what I told you to do, isn't it?" He says, "Enter thou into eternal life." Do you believe in your heart tonight that Christ is your Savior? Do you believe in God enough to give up your grumbling and your fault-finding and your complaining? You say, "Well, I never complain about God. I just complain about people." Well, now God's not here. We can't complain about Him. We don't even see Him now, but He's here in our midst. And one of the most positive things He says in the Bible is that He does not want us to complain, but to believe that He's there working out everything exactly as His Son Jesus did. You remember how when Jesus was brought before Pilate, He opened not His mouth. And how when the disciples said, "Aren't you going to do something?" "Well, no, I'm not going to do anything because nobody can kill me." He said, "Not my will, but thine be done, O God." And they led Him off to the hill and He put out His hand. What do you think Jesus was thinking about as they were about to drive the nail into His hands? I believe He was thinking, "Father, I want you to do whatever it is that you want these men to do." And He believed that God was in charge of those men and that hammer and that nail. And so He just held out His hand and waited to see what God was going to do. You say, "Well, I'm not Jesus." No, but you're His child. And if you're His child, you have a right to say, "God, I believe that you're working in everything in my life. I believe that you control me, my family, my job, everything, my school, my teachers." And you walk into school and you say, "Praise the Lord for my teacher." And she says, "Good morning, students. Now we're going to have a test over what you studied over the weekend." And you say, "What? Praise the Lord." You feel it inside. Why? Because God would never let her give that test unless He felt that you needed it. Now you say, "I'm just one of many." Well, I'm not. I'm a child of the King. And I walk right into God's presence and say, "God, I come to you in Jesus' name. I come asking you, God, not only forgive me of all my sins and give me eternal life, but God, here's some people around about me who haven't accepted Jesus yet, and I ask you to help them." And that's what I'm asking God as I'm talking right now. There's people here tonight who in your heart carry that deep hunger and that deep fear. Am I really a Christian, or am I just pretending? And you've not perhaps realized, except now as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that when you say, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian, rather than yourself you're doubting, it's the Son of God that you're doubting. And you'd like to be free of that doubt, free of that fear, free of that uncertainty, so that you can stand up with full assurance of faith and say, I belong to God tonight. Now that's extremely important, because one day you're going to be in the position I was in a few months ago, and I thought I was going to die. But I didn't die. But in that moment, I was so glad to know that I belonged to God, that He was my Father, and that Jesus Christ, His Son, was my Savior. But it's sometimes you don't have time, and it's too late. And I'd just like to see everybody in this whole beautiful place tonight leave with a song of joy in your heart, knowing for sure that Jesus is your Savior. Having all doubt removed, just given up. Say, I will not doubt, I will not fear, I will not be uncertain. I will know that Christ is my Savior. And because I know He is my Savior, now I come to God and say, God, by the way, Father, Jesus said I could be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God says, well, if you ask me that way, I guess I'll do it for you. You ask them in Jesus' name, and you're believing me, and you're trusting me, and I'll do it for you. And then, God, here's somebody that's sick, and I need, oh, God, they need to be healed so badly. Please, God. God, I'm going to put my hand on them and pray, and in Jesus' name, I believe you'll heal them. Or a friend who has not accepted Christ as their Savior, and they look at you, and they say, man, what in the world's happened to you? You don't even grumble because of the weather anymore. You don't even grumble because you can't get the car. You don't grumble because you may have failed on your report card. What in the world's happened to you? Why, I've just given my life over to God. And He just works it all out just however He wants to. And peace begins to flow into your heart. If I had hours tonight, I would give you illustrations by the hundreds of people who began to praise God, and God moved in their life. A man came to me this morning, his face just radiating. Told me how just a few weeks ago he had been operated on. They had cut him open, and they pronounced him as incurable with cancer all through his body. And he went home, and in the hospital, somebody gave him a copy of the book, Prison to Praise. He read that? Man, you mean if I'd praise God, even this cancer, God would take and use it for some good purpose? And the book said, that's right. So he said, okay, Lord, thank you for the cancer. Thank you for the microphone that filed out. And as he lay there thanking and praising God, that God was going to take this thing and use it, you know what happened? The Spirit of God just moved on him. And he said, God completely healed me. He said, I went to the doctors after I got out of the hospital and told them God had healed me, and they laughed at me. He said, well, x-ray me. And they x-rayed him. And they said, well, you can't be well, but you are. Now, I've heard that illustrated not once, 10 times, hundreds of times, thousands of times, but listen, the important thing is not that God heals the body. The important thing is not that He changes F into A's. The important thing is not that He changes anything, but what is the important thing? That He changes our heart and takes away the spirit of grumbling and groaning and fault-finding, so that God can take our lives and bless us and use us and cause us to be a vessel that He can just pour joy in. And the more He pours it in, it just keeps flowing out over us. And everybody that comes in contact with us begins to say, do you mean that God, through Christ and through His Holy Spirit, could make me filled with joy continually? That's what Paul said. Chained in the prison, body covered with the scars of whips. And there at midnight, Paul got to thinking, oh, praise God for what He's done. Praise God for what He's done. And he got to singing. And along about midnight, the angel said, now, we just can't stand any more of this. And they came and they set him free. Now, other times Paul stayed right there in jail. And while he was writing, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And then he wrote, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Is there any little part of you right now that's not filled with joy? Is there any memory that you have that's not filled with joy? Did God take something from you? Did the devil do something to you? Did something happen in your life that's caused you pain even to think of it? Right now, as I'm speaking, begin to say, thank God for that thing. Thank you for it in your heart. Why? Because you're going to use it. Thank you, God, and I believe you're using it, and I turn it over to you, and you'll begin to feel something jarring down inside. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. As the joy of Christ begins flowing in your life, remember what Jesus said in John 17? He said, Father, let my joy be fulfilled in them. Would you like to have Jesus' joy? Do you know anyone in the world that's happier than you are? You don't have any right to know anyone happier than you are. No rank whatsoever. Why? Because Jesus offered you His joy. And if you've got His joy, you don't need anybody else's joy. Will you pray? Dear God, I ask you right now for every person here who has kept a secret feeling inside of them they were not quite sure whether they had eternal life or not. And I pray, Father, that through the Holy Spirit, you'll enable each one of us to be as honest as we can right now and to be willing to confess the guilt of doubt inside of our hearts so that you can forgive us. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.